This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on, is so pathetic. It's so pathetic. And I would hope that in the with their big advantage of bringing money home at a very low rate, that they would invest in infrastructure and things. But the experience has been that they will do dividends, they will do stock buybacks and things like that. I think it's insignificant.
So if somebody gave you $1,000 right now, that'd just be mere crumbs, right? Insignificant. Unbelievable. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a pleasure to be with you again. Been with you all week as Tony has taken some time away to be with his family. But Nancy Pelosi on tax reform and the millions who are receiving sizable bonuses as a result of tax cuts. Bonuses are mere crumbs and so pathetic. We're ending a big week in Congress. Bipartisan meetings on immigration, vote on the FISA Act, and yesterday we learned our friend and colleague, Congressman Jody Heiss, has been appointed to the House Armed Services Committee. We'll chat with him about that, plus we'll take a look at policy movements in Congress. And new undercover investigation exposes Twitter, finding that social media giants censoring conservatives. We'll talk with James O'Keefe, founder of the Veritas Group. And we all know how much the left likes science, right? So why doesn't it embrace the evidence that life begins at conception? Brooke Staton, founder and CEO of Content Projects, will be here to discuss this settled science. And all of this great content that we've brought you this week, you can find it on the web at tonyperkins.com. You can also follow Tony on Twitter at tperkins. You can follow me at Russ Jones Speaks. Well, earlier in the week, we witnessed an amazing meeting between Democrats and Republicans as they discussed immigration reform, and DACA negotiations have begun, and companies are giving bonuses to employees in response to the recent tax cuts. But it's crickets. Have you noticed that on many of the mainstream news networks? They're not talking about the thousands and millions of dollars, millions of employees that are going to benefit. With us now is Representative Jody Heiss. He represents the 10th Congressional District of Georgia. He serves on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and the House Committee on Natural Resources. And a new announcement, he has been appointed to the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Russ. Great to be with you. Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year, and are you licking your wounds from that championship game, brother? I'm so sorry.
What an incredible opportunity to be at the championship game, but tough loss for the Dogs, but I feel very good they'll be back. So we'll, one of our great sayings is always next year, and we'll be back.
You were at the game. That was one of the best championship games, I got to tell you, I've ever seen.
One of the best games ever, and frankly, I think Georgia outplayed them in every way until right there at the very end, and that's where it counted. But like I said, Coach Kirby Smart's doing a fantastic job. We're just really proud of him and what he's doing at UGA, and I feel very confident they're coming back. They're building a championship team, and so they'll be back.
Well, I went to Mizzou, so I don't know if I can say that. So
anyway,
always next year, that's right. Well, Congressman, congratulations on this new appointment to the Armed Services Committee. I'm sure you've got to be excited to dig into that new work.
Very much. You know, it's good to be able to have a seat at the table when it comes to decisions regarding national security. We will be dealing with leaders and stakeholders from everything dealing with defense policy to priorities to the various military installations across the country. And it's a big deal for Georgia. I mean, right here in our state, we've got 9 military installations here, well over 100,000 active servicemen and women here. And I just really could not be more excited to work with and to help train and prepare and equip and provide intelligence and all that's needed to our brave men and women. They've got an enormous task defending our country, and I'm extremely honored to be on the Armed Services Committee.
And I'm sure you're beginning to be briefed on that work's going to look like. So for 2018, I would imagine North Korea. What are some of the defense priorities? You alluded to that, and military policies.
Well, you know, I can't obviously get into a whole lot, and of course, I'm still extremely new. I have been in process over some time of starting to get some information and some briefings. But you're right, North Korea obviously is the 500-pound gorilla in the room. Mm-hmm. From a more practical defense perspective, the cybersecurity issue is enormous. That's obviously a huge area of potential threat that we've got to address. And I'm honored Fort Gordon in Georgia is a cyber command now, and that is partly in the 10th District of Georgia. So we're part of that. And then also space. I think that is also the next area of warfare, and we've got to make sure that we maintain and have dominance in space from satellite to whatever multiple other avenues of military defense that we need to have in space. So those are, I think, some of the basics that personally are huge concerns for me.
And you know, earlier this week on Wednesday, over the skies of South Korea, there were dramatic photos that showed an Air Force supersonic bomber with U.S. and allied fighter jets in formation. Are you seeing an improved confidence and attitude with our military under our current administration?
Absolutely. No question about it. I had the privilege, 9 months ago, to be in that region, personally in Japan, South Korea. I went to the DMZ, actually was able to land on the USS Ronald Reagan, our carrier out in the Asian Pacific, and to be with our personnel, to see them and to work with them. I'm telling you what, the confidence is up. They're grateful not only from the White House, but Congress is committed to providing what they need to do the job that needs to get done. And we've just come out of 8 years of drastic cuts in our military, and now all of that is turning around. And I'm excited about it, but even more so, our brave men and women are excited. And this is a time America's coming back on the world scene to the place and the role that we have held in the past, and it's about time. I'm glad that's happening.
And you know, Congressman, I was reading that the Air Force is nearly 2,000 pilots and about 4,000 aircraft mechanics short. Spare parts are hard to come by for some of these bombers that first entered service in the 1980s, and I know for President Trump, we've heard that this is a priority to turn this around.
It is a priority, and you're right. You know, I have personally seen with my own two eyes traveling around different installations literally around the world, and how we are using parts from one plane to keep another one in the air, and those things just ought not to be, not in the U.S. military. And yet that's been the result of cutting the budget year after year after year. And now we have put a stop to that and, in fact, reversing it. And I'm personally going to do everything I can to make sure that our military in every branch has the funds, the training, the equipment, the preparation they need to do the job that we all count on them to do.
On another note on tax cuts, we have been hearing just one company after another offering incentives, bonuses, raises, AT&T $1,000 bonuses to some 200,000 employees, and Fiat Chrysler $2,000 bonus for 60,000 employees, a $1 billion investment in a U.S. plant in Warren, Michigan, 2,500 new jobs. But yet the mainstream media has been crickets on this, focusing on all kinds of other drama today. What are your thoughts on this? Your colleague, Pelosi, just said an amazing comment that this is just crumbs, but I don't think $1,000 for most people would be crumbs.
No, look, $1,000 might not be much to fancy-smancy Nancy, you know, but but for your average American, that's huge. You know, you've got, and by the way, she is one of the wealthiest members of Congress, which a lot of people may not know, but $1,000 is a lot of money for folks all across our country, and they're already beginning to see the benefits of this tax reform, the tax cut, the tax relief. And as you mentioned, I think there's now more than 100 employers that have announced that they're raising wages or delivering bonuses, just one thing after another. And In fact, we just heard the Department of Treasury this week announced that 9 out of 10 taxpayers are going to see a boost in their take-home pay beginning this next month, and that's huge.
Yes.
So when you've got 90% of Americans who are personally, directly going to see a boost in their take-home pay, plus many, many, many of them are getting raises in their salaries or bonuses or whatever it may be, this is big news. It's the same old same with the Democrats and so many in the media or wherever, just using fear-mongering type tactics, words like Armageddon or whatever it may be.
Right.
When reality speaks, when people see more money in their back pockets, they will see that this thing really is a great deal for America, and it's going to boost our economic engine in ways that that we can't even fathom yet.
Now, Congressman, you've been a leading voice and organized a special order on the House floor calling for an investigation back in December on Hezbollah. Speak to that just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people may not know. We hear about Hezbollah, but what people don't know is they have become one of the world's biggest traffickers of drugs and illegal money to fund terrorist activities around the world, and they literally are operating like a mafia around the world. And during the Obama administration, there was a Project Cassandra that took place over 8 years. There were over 30 different agencies as well as different countries involved in investigating Hezbollah. We went to the investigation went to the top personnel of Hezbollah. We even had one of them in our grasp, and Obama refused to let us take action because he did not want to in any way hinder the Iran nuclear deal, which in itself was a disaster. And in fact, he ended up shutting down the project altogether. And so Hezbollah is just it's yet another scandal. And we, as you mentioned, we did a special order on that. And just this past week, I'm thrilled to say that Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I think largely or at least partly because of the special order, has called an investigation on this, and so it's going further, getting a lot of traction, and I think we're going to see what he referred to as narco-terrorism with Hezbollah. It is now full steam finding the truth about this and dealing with it, and I could not be more pleased with that outcome.
And apparently, you know, the obstacles and delays that left some investigators with the impression that the cases were viewed as unhelpful to the Obama administration drive for nuclear accord with Iran. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And that deal itself does nothing but allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. And it was a disaster in and of itself. And so both Iran got what they wanted and Hezbollah kept what they wanted. An absolute scandal, and I hope we'll get to the bottom line of it.
Well, Congressman Heiss, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on the new appointment on the House Armed Services Committee. Thanks.
Thank you, Russ. Always great to be with you. God bless.
God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. Well, is Twitter censoring conservative posts on its social media platform? A new investigative report has proof that it is. We'll talk with James O'Keefe of Project Veritas when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, That's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
It's Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. It's been a pleasure to be with you this week. I've enjoyed it very much. Hope you have. Well, several current and former Twitter employees admitted in an undercover video from Project Veritas that the company censors conservatives and what's called shadow bans, people who express right-wing views, conservatives. Let's listen.
Just go to a random tweet and just look at the followers. Yeah. We'll all be like guns, God, America. Like, yeah. And with the American flag and like the cross.
Yeah, no one really has.
America. Like, who says that? Who talks like that? It's for sure a God.
A God or just
Or a redneck.
Or a redneck, yeah. A redneck, wow. With us now is Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe. James, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be back with you.
Well, you really got the goods here. Tell us about it.
Well, this video shows Twitter engineers and executives talking about shadow banning, which is this practice where you can tweet out things to your users thinking that it's getting to your users, but they don't actually see it. And what's remarkable about these videos is that we've known this for years, but we have people on tape actually saying it explicitly, how they create these algorithms. You just heard sound of a direct messaging engineer who says that he can actually create keywords like the American flag and guns that will actually allow them to censor debate and censor speech on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And while we know that they've been censoring bad guys like white supremacists and Nazis, mm-hmm. now we learn that they're actually – in their words, quote, changing the way that people talk, changing the way of talking. So this investigation has prompted three reactions from Twitter. First, they said the first employee was an isolated incident, a rogue employee. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying that there's eight people and that they don't speak for Twitter and they don't do what they're caught on tape doing. So it's been a phenomenon and there's more coming.
Oh, there's more coming. Did you hear that, folks? That's very interesting. Well, the shadow ban, the social media platform here, a lot of media people, as you know, use Twitter. It's kind of like the social media platform of choice. And this is particularly interesting because it's also the way our President Trump, chooses to communicate to the masses.
Yeah, it's bypassing the mainstream media. People, I mean, Twitter is the town square. I mean, there's, if they take away your ability to Facebook, Twitter, and use Gmail and YouTube, what are you going to do and where are you going to go? These companies have a sort of monopoly on the ability to exchange information. So they're private companies. They can do what they want, but there are consequences when they lie to their users. So one of the most remarkable things about the video is how all these people are saying the same thing. They call it shadow banning or downranking, where they can actually censor certain ideas and on the timeline. And they say that this is used in the past. It's used presently. They even talk about accessing the president's direct messages and sharing it with the Justice Department. And we don't know whether there's a subpoena or not. We do know that some of the other big tech companies will not cooperate with the subpoena on principle. So it's the next video is going to show about how they what they do with your private information in these deleted messages. They can even access messages that you're typing out but you delete. They store all that stuff. It's all the pictures that you are about to upload. They can track where your location is. And a lot of this stuff you sign up for when you do the service.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't realize that there is no privacy and there is no First Amendment on these platforms. It's amazing, and it's all there in the video. They're saying it explicitly and bragging about it.
And you know, James, I think most would agree that are listening here, we have a love-hate relationship with social media. You know, we love it on one hand and hate it on the other. And I think most of us know that we've turned over a lot of our own privacy information by participating. But for many conservatives, it's a way to influence and to educate their followers and whatnot. And in your video, I watched your video. It's online, folks. You got to go see this. But the one of these employees at Twitter said that about 90% are anti-Trump, maybe 99% anti-Trump at the time when he worked there.
Yep, 90. Yeah, they said they're all anti-Trump. There's a very liberal San Francisco at Silicon Valley, so it's an incredibly biased place, and it informs their decisions. They said it's up to the user's discretion. They can pluck things off timelines. They can log into direct messages. They store your private information from direct messages. It's incredible to hear these things we all have believed for so long. Veritas is sort of in the business of confirming suspicions.
Yes.
And I'm actually about to release this book called American Pravda on Tuesday. Mm. The book is – series is called American Pravda. The book is called American Pravda. And it talks about how broken our media is and how you know, you may think it's bad, but it's not as bad as you can possibly imagine, you know, because we're there. We're undercover in CNN. We're undercover in the New York Times.
Right.
And it's worse with Silicon Valley. These companies are 100,000 times more powerful than cable news because everyone disseminates news on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're able to downrank, shadow ban, and mute you without you knowing it through sophisticated algorithms and machine learning to mm-hmm. make you think that you're propagating those tweets and Facebook notes, but you're actually not.
Right.
Then they're changing the DNA of our democracy. And I wrote this whole book, American Pravda, where I go through how they lie and how they deceive. But these videos, you know, that's the standard that the citizen journalists need to be held to, is to show them in their own words. It's undeniable. And now Twitter has even confirmed the authenticity of the videos.
And James, you know, we're about out of time, but you used a word there that I've used for years, citizen journalists, and it's the power of the people. What do you say to those that are listening and organizations that spend thousands of dollars in social media on Facebook and Twitter trying to build a following? Do you keep doing that? I mean, what do you do when this evidence comes out that you're spending all this money and it's going into a dark hole?
You have to tweet at Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, at Jack, J-A-C-K, and put pressure on these people to be transparent and make their algorithms public. We the people have to put pressure on those in power is what we have to do.
James O'Keefe, thank you so much. Appreciate your work. You keep it up, man.
Thank you.
Veritas Group. We always get the real truth here from folks like James. Appreciate it. Well, coming up next, science proves that life begins at conception. But why does the left deny the evidence? We'll talk with Brooke Stanton of Contend Projects when we return. I'm Russ Jones. Filling in for Tony Perkins, you're listening to Washington Watch.
Pro-Life Con is FRC's Digital Action Summit celebrating digital pro-life activism. Join us live via webcast on January 19th from FRC's headquarters in Washington. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists, as well as testimonies from families and individuals who chose life. You'll be empowered to better reach your own communities by learning from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. Tune in Friday, January 19th at ProLifeCon.com.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, producer of this program. Been sitting in for Tony Perkins all week. Tony's been taking a needed break and vacation with his family. Lord willing, we'll all be back on Monday. Tony will be back behind the mic. Good interview with James O'Keefe, the Veritas Project. If you didn't get that Twitter account username for the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, it's @Jack. Send him a note. Demand transparency. Stop blocking the posts of conservative groups. And you all rednecks, is that one Twitter employee called conservatives rednecks and people that believe in the Bible and the Second Amendment and freedom of speech. Well, when does life begin? It's a question folks ask all the time. It's one of the greatest questions of all time. It is a scientific fact that human life begins at conception. So here's the most important question. It's, why do leaders on the left like to use science to prove issues like global warming, but not use science to prove the moment life begins? Well, we've got somebody here that's going to help us answer that question. With us now is Brooke Statton, founder and CEO of Content Projects. It's dedicated to separating the science from politics when it comes to human life. Brooke, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program. Was very interested when I was reading the information about what you're doing, and the question, when does a human being begin, has become so politicized that the relevant information is often now filed under politics rather than science or medicine. Tell us what you're up to.
That's right. Content Projects is making the basic, accurate, objective science about when a human being begins to exist simple and accessible for everyone, even for people who may not consider themselves science types. Because as human beings, it is relevant and important to all of us as a matter of basic science literacy, basic science education, and to empower accurately informed decisions about related issues on a personal level and more broadly speaking in terms of public policies and laws. And we have found that most people don't know the accurate science. In fact, we have found that most people don't even know that when a human being begins to exist is a scientific fact. And obviously that's a huge problem, because knowing this particular science reality is key. So many serious issues and decisions depend upon this science.
Well, you know, March for Life is just around the corner, and we're big supporters of that at Family Research Council. So we wanted to have you on kind of in advance of all of that. But one of the notions that is in your work is that human embryology is biology, not an ideology. Speak to that.
That's right. So when a human being begins to exist is not a mystery or a subjective, political, religious, or personal matter. It is a science reality, an objective scientific fact of the biological science of human embryology, the only biological science that specializes in when a human being begins in his or her early development. So that is key. And this scientific fact was established by the scientific method and has been known and documented for over 100 years. It was even formally instituted 75 years ago by a secular government agency that is part of the National Institutes of Health. And it was instituted as the Carnegie stages of early human embryonic development. They're the gold standard of human embryological research. They document that in human sexual reproduction, a new, whole, individual, living human being begins to exist at the beginning of the process of fertilization. This is Carnegie stage 1A. Again, it is the global standard, the Carnegie stages. Human embryologists view the Carnegie chart as chemists view the periodic table. It is that important.
Well, tell us, how is speaking about this topic from a scientific perspective rather than, say, most of our listeners are Christians, rather than a biblical perspective impacting how you reach people?
Well, we believe that this data point changes everything, if you think about it. How can individuals possibly make accurately informed personal decisions about contraception, emergency contraception, abortion, or IVF without knowing if they are making a decision about a new human being or not? Mm-hmm. They can't. So this data point changes the conversation. It changes everything. Once people realize that it is an objective, empirical, scientific fact, that knowing this science is the same as like knowing the same way that scientists know objectively, empirically, that proteins are proteins, blood is blood, bones are bones. They know a human being begins to exist at first contact.
Right.
And once they realize that, I feel like the conversation begins to shift. And whether we're talking to individuals or even when we're talking to lawmakers, mm-hmm. the idea that this is where the conversation should start. And if you're
right.
not starting there, then obviously fake science, false science is going to lead to bad policy, going to lead to decisions that, you know, could be better. So the idea is to really use this as a starting point.
Brooke, we're up against a hard break. Can you hold on and come back after the break?
Sure, no problem.
We're talking with Brooke Stanton about this, taking a scientific look at when life begins. Folks, this is a really critical, important aspect of this conversation when it comes to abortion and pro-life. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. We'll be back right after this.
Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture save a life? At Family Research Council's 13th annual Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C. the morning of Friday, January 19th from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists, as well as testimonies from families and individuals who chose life. At the intersection of cutting-edge technology and a passion for the lives of the unborn, you'll be educated and empowered to better reach your community on social media. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement anytime and anywhere. Also, see live coverage from the National Mall as the March for Life gets underway. Tune in on January 19th at prolifecon.com. Again, visit prolifecon.com for more information.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. We're rounding the corner, heading back to the barn. Last show of the week. I'm Russ Jones. Been sitting in for Tony Perkins all week. It's great to be here with you. Hey, just a reminder, next week, January 16th, is Religious Freedom Day. And each year, the president declares January 16th to be Religious Freedom Day and calls upon Americans to observe this day through various events and activities in homes and schools and places of worship. Well, the Family Research Council will be having a special broadcast and great lineup of guests. You can also watch on Facebook a live stream, so just make sure to mark your calendar. Well, we've been talking about science, taking a look at science. The scientific fact that human life begins at conception. Been talking with Brooke Stanton of Contend Projects. Brooke, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for hanging on.
No problem.
Hey, you know, one of the things that it's really fascinating, and I mentioned it in our intro, is that how some on the left will gladly use science to prove the things that they agree on. Why don't you think they'll use science to lean into this very basic notion of respecting life and when it begins?
Well, I think that is obviously a very complicated answer, but it is politically, socially, and financially inconvenient refer to this science. And some people just do not know the science, and others are willfully ignorant. Going back to the Roe decision. The Roe decision is the main reason that some people believe that science does not know when a human life starts. So it is just so entrenched, that false notion that science will never know. And there are serious consequences to denying this science. And obviously people understand in terms of abortion, but what you may not know is there are also other false definitions in our laws. One example is the term pregnancy. Since the 1970s, HHS has misdefined pregnancy as beginning at implantation. And as you know, scientifically, pregnancy normally begins at the beginning of the process of fertilization, the same time that a new human being begins to exist within a woman's fallopian tube. By defining pregnancy as beginning at implantation, federal policy is even denying the science and saying that pregnancy begins about a week after a new human being begins to exist. And obviously there are serious implications in terms of federal funding for abortion services, the FDA's decisions about drugs and devices that prevent implantation, and frankly, the entire emergency contraception industry is built around this unscientific, inaccurate definition of pregnancy. Also, this precludes consumers from giving their ethically and legally valid informed consent. So, I mean, there's obviously, it's a very complicated
yeah,
issue.
Right. And you know, I was reading on your website that facts affect personal decisions. People deserve to know the facts. That's a great point. And one of the things I read, at least you can decide for yourself versus being manipulated by fraudulent, unscientific product information and marketing. That's a great point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the key is that people need to know there is science to refer to. When a human being begins is a scientific fact. And what science knows should be celebrated, whether it's about this issue or about climate science or about whatever it is that people are talking about. What science knows should be celebrated or at least acknowledged and not denied and should be the very starting point for all of these decisions on a personal level and beyond.
Yes, excellent, excellent information. Brooke, thank you so much for joining us on the radio program. We'll have to have you back. We appreciate this, what you're doing and how you're going about it and trying to get the word out. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. That was Brooke Stanton, founder and CEO of Contend Projects. Really interesting information. You know, folks, sometimes we overlook we get so passionate about our stance and our belief in God and what he's calling us to do that we maybe overlook the basics. You know, we've got science on our side on this issue. So give us a call. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Love to hear from you, get your thoughts on what you've heard today. And you know, those of you on Facebook, you ever see those things that remind you of what you were doing this time a year ago? Well, I had a couple on my Facebook page. You can follow me on Facebook too, facebook.com/RussJones. But 5 years ago today, I was in South Sudan and also in Kenya. But on this day, I was in South Sudan and then went over to Kenya, was with a dear brother, friend of mine who runs an orphanage in Kenya. And he was one of the original lost boys of Sudan that fought in that civil war to break away from the Islamic extremists, which created South Sudan, and stories about hiding in the belly of a dead elephant. And I got to meet this John Garang. I got to meet his mother, who lived in a village in a hut. And 2 years ago, she was tragically murdered by thugs, by these Islamic extremists trying to take back South Sudan. Very tragic. So that's what I was doing 5 years ago. And also another reminder of what I was doing 8 years ago. I was in Haiti. Today marks the 8th anniversary of the devastating earthquake that forever changed the landscape of Haiti. As we remember that somber day, we also celebrate the hope that God brought forth through the rubble. And I got to meet some amazing people. I've been to Haiti 4 times. I was there a year before the earthquake, and then I was there the entire week after the earthquake. Had an amazing story. Was supposed to meet a photographer, a videographer, young guy from North Carolina. We were supposed to meet in Miami. And my plane was delayed, and I got to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. He is in Miami waiting for me, and I told him, do not get on that plane because we're supposed to go to the Dominican Republic and then take an 8-hour bus ride because all air traffic had been halted. Only essential personnel were going into Haiti in Port-au-Prince. So we're going to go into the Dominican Republic and take an 8-hour bus ride. I said, do not get on that plane. Anyway, I'm trying to negotiate with Mission of Hope Haiti, our people on the ground that were helping us, getting us a translator and all kinds of things. In explaining the situation, well, there was a lady about 4 or 5 feet from me in the terminal at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. She overheard this conversation that I was having. And she said, sir, I don't mean to interrupt. I wasn't eavesdropping, but I was eavesdropping, and I heard you say some things, and I believe I can help. Are you ready for this? This is a God story. She said, I'm the media relations director for American Airlines. And you see, I have this plane that's in Miami that's got two vacant seats on it. Two people just canceled on me. Once we get you to Miami, would you like to have those two seats? And we'll fly you not to the Dominican Republic, but we will fly you right into Port-au-Prince. I started crying. I said, you better believe it. The short end of this story is that we got on that airplane at 4 a.m. in the morning and we flew right into Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And I have some of the best video footage, some of the best stories on the planet. I'll hold it up to anybody about the effects of that earthquake. I was there for a week. Still one of my pet projects, trying to get a documentary done. And I've answered every question. Maybe I didn't get this documentary done yet because I need to answer this question. And it's got to do with the Hillary Clinton Foundation. Where did the money go? Where did the millions of dollars that were donated to Haiti, where did that money go? Well, anyway, let's go to Lance in Lincoln, Nebraska. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch. And happy Friday. Are you glad it's Friday?
Thank you very much for having me on, Russ. Appreciate it. I appreciate all that you and Tony and Washington Watch does.
Well, thank you. It's good to have you.
I mean, can you hear me?
I can.
I was going to make a comment, the Brooke Stanton that you had on. And
yes.
If you have that information, she was talking about documents that, scientists refer to, referring to birth beginning at fertilization, but that's useful to have when you're discussing or debating this with people. So I just want
absolutely. She is a believer, by the way. It's just her organization has decided to go this kind of perspective based on science, which I've got to applaud that, because sometimes we don't see the obvious. And if you go to her website, you'll get all that information, Contend Projects. You'll find it.
Okay.
And yeah. So, but you're right. Isn't that, did you find that helpful?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's great to just have, sources that you can cite, with people. So that's always very helpful in those discussions.
Yes. Well, Lance, thank you so much. I bet you're cold up there in Nebraska.
It's very cold. Very cold. But yeah. Got to dress warm. But yeah, stay warm.
All right. Well, you have a blessed weekend. Thank you so much. Hey, give us a call, 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we got another caller here from Nebraska. Vicki, happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. I've never gotten through to you before. Listen, I really appreciate your programming, but I do have a question. It sounded so good to be true, and I understand some of the liberals don't understand, or maybe people more ethy, where $1,000, as a gift from the workplace, or just the way it looks like, it's very positive. But I'm hoping that your program in the weeks to come will explain. There's a lot of people who are being let go and chain stores that are closing because of all of this. So I just wanted to bring that negative part up. And I'm not upset with the conservatives at all. It's just that I think a lot of people are going to be suffering too. So I'm hoping that your program will address that situation in the next few days or weeks. Right.
Are you're saying people are losing their jobs because of the tax cuts?
Oh, gosh, I heard it on the news this morning, and I heard it on a regular, I can't remember the name of the program, but in a conservative-like news beat, too. People, because if they close, like chains, if they close stores around the country, I don't know about Sears and other ones, but
yeah, I think the news came out yesterday, the Sam's Clubs?
Sam's Club is one of them, but there's others. So I just am hoping that your group, since you represent so many things and you can give us the in-between-the-lines things, will keep abreast of this, because there are going to be families hurting, even though there are other families for that extra $1,000 that they might be given is great. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks so much, Vicki. Have a blessed weekend. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. Give us a call. Got a few minutes left, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Robert in my home state, Missouri, and St. Louis. Robert, happy Friday. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
What's on your mind?
A question about science and gender.
Well, I'm not a scientist, but go ahead.
You were talking about science and birth, but isn't gender also proved with the XY chromosomes, no matter how much you change your organs?
Well, I know enough about science to know, yes, sir. That's another good point, and there are just some things in science that you can't deny that a lot of folks are trying to deny.
So that's a valid argument, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, the other side's going to argue that they weren't created that way and that they were somehow a mistake.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
But that's just my unscientific layman's terms there. Robert in Missouri, thank you so much for calling Washington Watch. Appreciate it. You know, it's really interesting. I appreciated, this perspective that we got today in leaning into science. Let's go to Ezra in Louisiana. Ezra, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I appreciate everything you do on your radio show.
Thank you. It's been a treat for me to be here this week.
I just wanted to say that I think it's really interesting how whenever scientists discover that there was water on planets outside our solar system that support living organisms, they consider an organism living, but an embryo in a mother's womb is considered a mass of cells instead of actual life.
Yeah, absolutely right. But as we heard, and we know this instinctually, that science says otherwise, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think that's funny how whenever they talk about living organisms on another planet, they consider that life. But
right.
However, here on Earth, it's not considered life.
All right, Ezra, thank you so much for calling. Real quickly, let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to the show. You just got just about 20 seconds.
All right, just wanted to thank you for all that you do and just comment on that previous lady's call. You know, the administration, the conservatives, and the Trump administration is going to get blamed for everything if it's the Sam's Club closing or this,
yeah,
that, or the other. But just keep fighting the good fight, and the tax cuts and the Trump administration are not the reason Sam's Clubs are closing, rest assured. And God bless you and have a good weekend.
God bless you, too. Do you have big plans this weekend?
No, we're in Ohio here, and we're getting hit with the spring snow mix and then freezing temperatures for the next 3 or 4 days. So we're just kind of buttoning down the hatches and ride it out.
God bless you and stay safe. Thanks for calling, Joe. Thank you so much, friends. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins, and I leave you with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.